Although he had been a bachelor for many years, Quillerin had never learned to cook even the simplest survival foods for himself. Now he dropped two frozen Alaska king crab legs into boiling water, then carefully removed the meat from the shells, diced it, and placed a plateful on the floor. The Siamese responded by circling the dish dubiously before consenting to nibble. "I suppose you'd prefer breast of pheasant tonight," Quillerin said. If he indulged them, it was because they were an important two-thirds of his life. He had no other family. Yum-Yum was a lovable pet who liked to sit on his lap and reach out a paw to touch his mustache wonderingly. Coco was a remarkably intelligent animal in whom the natural feline instincts were developed to a supranormal degree. Together, they were a wily pair of accomplices. He proceeded to thaw a pouch of beef stew for his own dinner. Ordinarily, Saturday evening would have found him dining at the old stone mill with Polly Duncan, the chief librarian in Pickaxe and the chief woman in his life. She was out of town, however, and he gulped down the beef stew without tasting it, after which he retired to his studio to write his Straight from the Quill Pen column for the local newspaper. His upbeat topic was the success of an unusual experiment in Pickaxe. On that very evening, the theater club was presenting the final performance of the famous history of the life of King Henry VIII. It had been a controversial choice of play. Even devotees of Shakespeare predicted there would be more persons on stage than in the audience. Yet the production had achieved the longest run in Pickaxe theater history, 12 performances over a period of 4 weekends with virtually no empty seats. Quillerin had attended opening night in the company of Polly Duncan, after which he wrote a justifiably favorable review. He wrote a wrap-up piece commending the audience for their discerning appreciation of serious drama and complimenting the small-town performers for their believable portrayals of 16th-century English nobility. It was not entirely accidental that he neglected to mention the director until the last paragraph. Hilary Vanbrook had offended Quillerin's journalistic pride by refusing to be profiled in the Quill Pen column, an opportunity that the rest of Pickaxe equated with winning the lottery. Now the journalist was getting the last word, so to speak, by relegating the director to the last paragraph. Pleased with his handiwork, he concocted a cup of coffee in a computerized machine, thawed a donut, and prepared to relax with a book he had bought secondhand. After getting into his comfortable old threadbare plaid robe, he settled down in his big chair. Immediately the Siamese came running in anticipation of a reading session. He often read aloud to them. They seemed to appreciate the sound of his voice. He had a richly timbered delivery, the result of his diction classes while dabbling in college drama, and the acoustics of the barn added to its resonance. As he opened Audubon's Birds of America, his audience arranged themselves in comfortable bundles of attention.
Here's a handsome one, Quillerin said. It's your friend, the Cardinal.
Coco, an experienced pigeon watcher from down below, now spent hours every day at the windows on the various levels of the barn, sighting myriad small birds in the blighted orchard. Recently, he had struck up an acquaintance with a visitor distinguished by red plumage, a royal crown, and a patrician beak, who whistled a continual question, "Hoo-eet, hoo-eet,"